get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes. Hear the words I said. Get up now. Get up and make your bed.
You're listening to Because I Said So. And this week on the show, we're talking pets and kids. And we've got some great tips from a guest about, you know, if you have pets, how to make it just one big happy family. Hey, everyone out there. You're listening to Because I Said So. And today we are joined by a special guest, Susie Hoshino. Susie is an animal advocate, and she herself has eight pets. Eight dogs, right, Susie?
Yep, eight dogs.
And one of them is a pit bull.
Yes. One of them is a pit bull, okay. Jenny.
Jenny is the pit bull?
Jenny, yep.
Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, my gosh. I bet you she is so sweet.
She is.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, what you do. Because yesterday when I called you, you were in the car with two dogs rescuing them.
Yes. I was transporting them to Faithful Friends Rescue in Wilmington, Delaware from a kill shelter, animal control. And
you do that often?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've saved about 60 to 70 dogs by networking with the various rescues and private adoptions.
Okay.
And the two that I was bringing yesterday happened to be pit bulls.
Is that the majority of dogs, do you think?
Not quite the majority, but the one rescue up in Delaware, Faithful Friends, does take most all of our pit bulls. A lot of rescues will not take them because they have a harder time adopting them out because the public is slower to adopt them, probably because of the media, things they've heard. They're frightened. Pit bulls, if you get to know them, you can really love them. Or, other people, it's like either or you're afraid of them and you think they're terrible and should be outlawed. So there's very few in between.
Well, that's a good question because I think a lot of people think the breed itself is, you know, you can't control the breed, no matter how sweet and gentle and kind you are to that. I assume that's probably incorrect.
Well, this
yes.
is, I mean, that's what we go back to, you know, what the state's highest court said pit bulls were inherently dangerous, bottom line, because of their breed. That's
right.
Why.
And that is being challenged, and it probably this week that will be overruled because that did stem from a case where a child, I think it was in Towson, was mauled by a pit bull and had severe, you know, injuries. The owner of the pit bull did not have any resources, so when the parents went to sue, you know, for damages, they could not recoup anything. And the judge in the Court of Appeals ruled that the landlord could be held liable, and so his assets could be,
taken,
yes. Mm-hmm. So as a result, a lot of wonderful pit bulls were had to be given up to shelters because people had to choose between their home and their dog, and they just, you know, the dogs had to go. In Baltimore, the shelters were flooded with pit bulls.
Now, pit bulls are an excellent guard dog, I assume.
And no, so, not really. They're not a guard dog.
Really?
Okay.
They're not. Well, originally, do you know, maybe about 40 years ago or 50 years ago, they were known as the nanny dog. They were like an all-purpose kind of farm dog. And like you can look at lots of pictures, historical pictures in black and white with little children posing with their, quote, nanny, the pit bull.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, pit bulls, some pit bulls were bred for bull baiting, and then later on when that was outlawed in England, for dog fighting. So, but the people that did the dog fighting had to be able to pull the pit bulls apart when they were in the throes of a fight. And and not be bitten themselves. Therefore, any pit bull that would turn on a human would be, you know, put to sleep or killed. I mean, because they did not want any human aggressive dogs. They were,
okay,
you know.
Okay, let's let the dogs fight each other, but not expect them to turn around and bite me in the arm when I try and pull it off of this other dog.
Right. That was exactly the case. But now with our more humane society, dog fighting is illegal.
Yeah.
You know, thank goodness.
Which doesn't mean it doesn't still happen.
Right. It does still happen. And
dogs are still bred in many cases to be aggressive before the illegal dogfighting, mm-hmm. right? I mean,
There is a segment of society that, likes to have a tough looking dog. There's a small segment, I guess, of society, and they try to find and you know, pit bulls and pit bull type dogs. They are muscular and they're powerful. They're also very willing to please their owner. So when someone wants to get a dog to intimidate other people or to fight other dogs and treats it cruelly, and also if they try to selectively breed for viciousness, you know, then they can come up with, you know, a dog that shows those traits. I think that started happening probably in the late 90s, maybe in, 2000, late 90s probably, mid to late 90s. Before that, in the 80s, a Rottweiler was a dog that was considered mm-hmm. very dangerous. And in the 1970s, of course, it was the Doberman. And in the 1960s, it was the German Shepherd. It seems like there's always, and now it's the pit bull. Right.
Well, I've always loved Golden Retrievers. I don't think they're ever going to make that list, are they?
No, but, you know.
No, never know.
But there is some, inbreeding in Golden Retrievers, and, some of them do bite, have bitten, children. And you really have to judge the dog as an individual.
I think circumstances are huge mm-hmm. in the matter of mm-hmm.
In terms of dogs, children. I mean, we talk about it all the time. Yeah.
We had a Chesapeake Bay Retriever. Mm-hmm. Her name was Stella. And my son was pretty young. He was 2 at the time. And he had food in his hand. And she went for the food because he stands right at her mouth height, and he pulled the food away. And she got him in the cheek. And he ended mm-hmm. up getting 11 stitches in his face. Mm-hmm. We knew that, it wasn't all really her fault. So mm-hmm. it's not like we immediately said, this dog has to be put down. Mm-hmm. Although the Chesapeake Bay Retriever website and community thought so. Like, how dare you adopt this dog out? Mm-hmm. She bit, a child in the face.
So, so the Chesapeake Bay Retriever website wanted to put him down?
They just said, I went on to see if I could adopt her out because I knew, it was probably not a good idea for us, with Steven. We needed to kind of keep them away from each other. So the people who responded to me posting her on the website kind of crucified me.
And so what happened to the dog?
Actually, my uncle took her. His children were much older, and he's had dogs all his life. And mm-hmm.
She lived happily ever after?
We found a happy home, yeah. So
that's great.
I think that it was a good ending to the story. But, he got bit in the face and got stitches.
That's scary.
He's not afraid of dogs, which is a really good part of the story, too, because, they could be deathly afraid for the rest of their lives.
Right.
And I think, is it true that dogs can sense that? They can sense fear?
I think they can sense it. Yeah. I think they can sense fear. They can sense if someone has less than honorable attentions against them, too.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think so. They can also sense the opposite, the good feelings, when you open their heart to them and,
Definitely.
And then they will come 90%.
That unconditional love that dogs have is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Will you say something, Chris?
Yeah, I just have a quick question. If a dog is bred for a certain personality type, is it doomed to be that way? If I get a pit bull that mm-hmm. came from an aggressive, somebody's breeding that way, and I bring him up really nice and he gets treats and he sleeps mm-hmm. all day long, is he doomed to be an aggressive dog, or how much of that is, I guess,
owner-based,
set in them? Yeah.
Well, I believe that dogs are very adaptable, and so I would judge them as an individual. Genes aren't simplistic. There are so many genes. If you talk to a geneticist, and there are like infinite number of combinations that they could take. So even, if both parents are aggressive, it doesn't mean the puppy is going to be aggressive.
But they're still an animal, and I think that mm-hmm. we all have to understand that and respect that, even Golden Retrievers, as you say. I mean, they react to different things. And I think that we all would do well to teach our kids about respect of the fact that, don't run up to a dog before you have an opportunity to make sure that the owner says it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to mm-hmm. come back and actually have some tips. You have some tips, Susie, for us?
Yeah, sure.
For parents out there with children and pets, maybe pets first, children second, or vice versa. So we'll be right back.
To the sound of bass and cymbals and a twinkling of the keys comes our weekly trip to the lexicon to mind our Q's and P's.
It's either on the coast
or inland.
No.
Using my strategy, eh?
Please join us each week for Public Radio's game of wit and words. It's Says You.
Sunday afternoons at 2 on WSDL 90.7 FM.
You're rejoining Because I Said So. We're here with Susie Hoshino, who is an animal advocate and has some tips for us. I know that maybe sometimes when a couple has the pet first and then introduces, you know, okay, newborn baby. Mm-hmm. That's something that even the pet has to adjust to. And
right.
You have to be aware of that. I've heard of people taking the baby blanket home before bringing the baby home so the animal can smell it and know, you know, what's about to happen.
Yes, I think that's a good idea. Other ideas are to have a tape of a baby crying, you know, and play that so the dog can hear it. You know, that baby,
that's good for the whole family.
You can
get used to that. Yes.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's really important that you never leave the baby or even, a young child alone with a dog if possible. I know that's hard sometimes because you never know what may happen. That's important, but I believe in most all situations it will work out well, and the dog will become will know that the new child's its family member and become protective of that baby.
I was going to say, I think dogs. I mean, I know, you know, I don't have a dog, but my cats were anyways. When we brought the kids home, they were very aware that the hierarchy had changed.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And that these little babies were very, very important. And
right,
you know,
yeah.
They got that.
But I could also see dogs being a little depressed about that, too.
Well, absolutely.
I remember we got a dog before we had our baby. And I remember thinking, there's no way I could ever love this baby as much as I love this dog. I loved that dog.
Yeah.
I mean, I let the dog sleep in bed with us sometimes. It was a big, giant golden retriever. And then I gave birth, and I remember looking at the dog thinking, oh, you poor thing. You know,
yeah.
You poor thing. I was delusional. But, you know,
well,
I did feel badly for the dog.
You
at
know,
that point.
You're exhausted after giving birth, and, like, you know, if you're up at night feeding the new baby. But if you can keep the dog's routine a little bit the same and
mm-hmm.
give some attention to the dog,
yeah.
Maybe, you know, when you're feeling up to take the baby and the dog out for a walk.
Yeah, I tried that. That didn't always work.
Not at first, yeah. That's tough.
Because, you know, the dogs are creatures of routine. That's
mm-hmm.
one thing that, you know, calms them down and stabilizes them. And now, you know, when you have a new baby, how your routine is just...
routine is their routine.
Yeah.
You know?
It's turned upside down. So the dog feels the same things, you know?
I remember, this is, I don't know, Steven's going to kill me when he's older. I remember the first day I was home with both of my kids. So I had just brought Nicholas home from the hospital. I was by myself in the house, the dog, Stephen, Nicholas, newborn. And all of a sudden, Stephen Patrick walks out the door, keeps it open. Stella takes off. He pulls his pants down and poops on the step. I have no idea why. But then Nicholas is screaming. I'm like, okay, this is the test.
I got it.
Okay.
What do I do first?
Priorities. Get Steven's pants up and wipe his butt. Wash your hands, feed the baby, and then go look for the dog.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's the way it had to be, you know?
Dogs are smart.
You know, you just had to, I mean, not that Stella wasn't important, but the priority was this child is screaming and he's got poop on his butt. You know?
Oh, my.
You know?
Now, I have a 9-year-old who, we've never had a dog, but he is just deathly afraid of dogs. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. He's never really had any mm-hmm. contact with dogs, but he doesn't like them at all.
No.
So I try to teach him basics. Don't approach a dog without talking to the owner. But what kinds of things should I be?
Get a dog. How about that? Have you thought about that?
That's not going to happen. No.
I would say it depends on how afraid he is of dogs. You know, you don't want to make him uncomfortable. Your son very uncomfortable. But I don't know if it will be easy to start.
I mean, he'll go to friends' mm-hmm. houses
mm-hmm.
who have dogs, but you know, he's very, very cautious.
He doesn't want a dog?
He does not want a dog, no.
Why would he want a dog if he was scared of
them? Yeah, he said, you know, Mom, dogs just aren't my thing.
Like, which is okay.
I get that. You know, I get
I've
that.
I've never heard of that
but,
before.
But
in
it
my
is,
life.
But he is very he's very hesitant if he goes to a friend's house who has mm-hmm. a dog, even if it's a old dog, you know, poodle dog, teacup dog, mm-hmm. whatever. Not so much.
Can he tell you what about dogs that makes him uncomfortable?
I don't think so. I think it's just him, you know? I mean, I can't tell you about what it is about celery that makes me uncomfortable. <You know? laughs> It just does. It's just
thing.
One of those things.
Are you afraid of celery?
I just don't like it very much. No, but I want him, but I do think that the dogs sense his fear and hesitation. And so I want to be able to teach him, you know, if he's in a situation with a dog, what he should do.
Well, the first thing, you know, some of the things are just common sense. Like if you see, you know, some owner with a dog, always the child should ask permission. Is your dog friendly? Or, you know, may I pet your dog? Then it's best for the child to be still and, you know, maybe put their hand down and let the dog come to them. That's a real common mistake that, you know, even adults make. They go to the dog and they feel because they have warm feelings towards a dog and they want to pet it. They may lean over the dog. And then they may, you know, put their hand down to pet the dog on the top of the head. And those last two things are things that the dog can perceive as threatening. Mm-hmm. And so you should want to avoid. It's better to keep your hands down, maybe your hand open, and let the dog come to you. Don't loom over it and, you know, proceed that way. If there's a strange dog running loose, this sometimes happens, and the child is maybe walking home from school or in the neighborhood, and it looks like it's charging towards them. The child should not run, no matter how much they want to run, because dogs, you know, if a dog is bent on attacking, it's going to incite more attack. If the dog is just going to want to play, he's going to think, oh, let's play tag, and probably chase the child either way. So the best thing is to stand like a tree. The child should, you know, sometimes you give yourself three words. Stand like a tree. The child should stand still and let the dog come up and sniff him. And the dog is most likely, you know, not going to do anything.
And probably ignore him, like don't make eye contact.
Yeah, just stand like a tree with their arms by the sides. Definitely not to run. If the dog jumps and knocks the child down, I mean, for us moms, and, you know, this is like such a horrific image, but sometimes if you can just remember, this child should curl up and put his fists over his ears and lie still. Don't scream, thrash, because, you know, hopefully a dog is going to, like, just maybe sniff him then. Maybe the dog didn't even mean to knock him down. Or if the dog is attacking, the child will have the least amount of damage that way. So those are scary things, you know.
It's funny that you said, well, I had experience as a little girl. A German Shepherd was barging towards me, and I ran. And I jumped up on, I don't even know, the neighbor. Like, I think I was almost
climbed
on his head.
Yeah.
Because I was so, because this dog was huge.
Yeah.
He was just trying to play.
Yeah.
He was a really nice neighborhood dog. But I saw him charging towards me, and I was, you know, I was scared.
Yeah.
That's hard for a kid to understand to do. Stand like a tree when a dog is like.
Yeah. But, you know, in school when the firemen teach you, if your clothes catch fire, stop, drop, roll. Stop, drop, roll. If it's only like three words, like a mantra, stand like a tree. You might be able to remember that. The child might. And that, you know, that.
And actually do it.
Yeah, and actually do it. So that's some advice. So, of course, you should never bother a dog that's sleeping. You might be startling. Some dogs that are older have lost their hearing and then they're startled.
Yeah.
And they may, you know, they don't hear the child and they're jolted awake.
Yeah.
Or if a dog has food or guarding a bone. You know, those types of things. If it's protecting anything, maybe it's property. Child should never approach a dog on a chain because when dogs are chained, it does change their personality. In fact, most bites are related to chain dogs.
All right, we're going to come back with more about pets and, and dogs and pets and dogs and kids and parents. So we'll be right back with Susie Hoshino.
The Delmarva Public Radio Board of Directors will meet on Thursday, February 14th, 2013 at 2 p.m. at the Scarborough Leadership Center at Salisbury University. The public is welcome to attend.
We have a lot to talk about here because I said so about pets and your kids and maybe you shouldn't have one or maybe you should have 9 or 8 mm-hmm. like our guest Susie Hoshino. Were your kids always really good around your dogs?
They were really pretty good because I was pretty watchful. With my first son, I had 2 bigger dogs, and those dogs were, you know, very solid and gentle dogs. Mm-hmm. I guess with my second son, I had a smaller dog, a little toy poodle, and who would dance out of his way and did not let my son touch him until my son was 15 months old and could sort of, you know,
gently
touch him gently.
Smart dog.
Yeah, he was smart and very agile and small, so I knew everything would be okay with that. I just watched carefully. But generally with children, you should avoid a very small dog because, you know, the dog could be delicate, it could be injured, and sometimes some small dogs can be a little bit more high-strung. Like, mm-hmm. I probably would not recommend a Chihuahua despite all these movie stars carrying them around as part of their
wardrobe. Ensemble.
Their wardrobe, yeah. Really. It's, yeah, you know, that's what it is. But you, I mean, there are people out right. there who only want to rescue dogs. Mm-hmm. They're not going mm-hmm. for the purebred.
Right.
And if you don't really know all of the background, uh-huh. you know, like you during break, you had said, you know, what are the best breeds? But if people really want to not always go for the purebreds.
Well, I have a solution for that. If okay. I was, you know, if I was looking for a dog, uh-huh. I would look probably on Pet Finder and I would look to a rescue because the rescues take dogs, you know, some of them are adult dogs. I would never rule out an adult dog versus a puppy for a child. Mm-hmm. And they put them into foster homes. The foster, quote, foster parents know the dog in and out. Mm-hmm. They will know if they're good with other dogs, if they're good with kids. And they can tell you the whole history of whether they're good with cats, the whole history of the dog's behavior. And that way you really know what you're getting.
Right.
Sometimes with an adult dog, too, you know what you're getting because the personality is there and it's formed. Whereas if you get a puppy, you don't know what the puppy might grow up to be. You know,
you could screw that puppy up pretty good.
So it's kind of like kids.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally like kids.
Yeah. So I think I would, you know, I would get a – I think Basset Hounds have the lowest instance of biting.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you have a Basset Hound?
No, my last name's Basset.
Oh, wow.
So tell me, you have 8 dogs. What kind of dogs do you have?
Well, all my dogs are rescues, and most of them are mixes, but I've got 2 dachshunds. Those are purebred. I've got a Chihuahua Min Pin mix, which is not a dog that I would recommend for a child because he's so nervous. A Chihuahua Pomeranian mix, who's only like 6 pounds. A little poodle, probably a mix. A spaniel, a Cavalier Charles Spaniel mix. And what am I? Oh, yeah, a Cocker Beagle mix. And, of course, my pit bull mix, I guess she is, because, you know, a pit bull is kind of like a catch-all category. Jenny.
Now, these are not foster dogs. These are your dogs.
No, these are my dogs. Jenny was a failed foster. I do foster dogs for medical reasons, short term, usually. Jenny, I just fell in love with her. And so if you think like a pit bull might be aggressive, to have her in my home and to have her next to my 5-pound Chihuahua, you know, I had to be 100% confident in her character that mm-hmm. she would. In fact, the small dogs boss her around, and she's the most gentle-natured of all of them.
There are stories like that.
Yeah,
definitely.
And they all sleep in bed with us, and she's very careful when she comes up on the bed.
You must have a really big bed.
No, they all know how to. Well, some of them are small. You know, the dachshunds are small. The chihuahuas are small.
Oh, my
most
gosh.
Most of them are small. Yeah, we usually have at least 7 in bed with us.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Do you have a king-size bed?
No, just a queen-size.
Oh, my gosh.
But they all have their place. It's amazing where you know, how many you can fit in one bed.
Yeah, I can only fit 2 kids in my bed right
yeah.
now. I don't know. We did let Stella
sleep in bed. We slept
with
our kids, too, when our kids were young. So,
But I do think that's great advice that, you know, you really do want to kind of know something about this dog before
yes.
you know.
And that's, you know, why I really recommend going to the rescues. All of my dogs except one were rescued. They were all from, you know, the dog pound. Mm-hmm. Most of them slated for death.
know.
So they're all different, and they're all wonderful. Of all my dogs, the one that I would recommend, you know, first off for a kid would be Jenny the Pit Bull, because I can guarantee she would never hurt a flea, you know. In fact, she comes and she tries to put her bone in my mouth to share with me. Of course, I don't take it, you know. But, like, look what I've got. You know, she's so sweet.
Now, does our shelter here, our shelter here is a kill shelter.
Wicomico County shelter is moving towards a very low kill status. They do have a wonderful selection of dogs. They know a lot about their dogs, and they have a foster program, too. I highly recommend going there, you know, to get a dog. I volunteered animal control in Worcester County. It's a little bit different situation, but I've been able to really, you know, save a lot of dogs.
Because Worcester County is a no-kill shelter.
Worcester County Humane Society is a no-kill shelter, but it's kind of like a sanctuary. They do adopt dogs out. Where I go, I wanted to go where there was the greatest need, so I went to Worcester County Animal Control, and those are the dogs that, you know, they're on limited time. They're turn-ins or strays, and so I've seen some miracles happen there. And
because what is the time? Like 2 days?
No, they keep, if a dog comes in as stray, they will keep it 10 days. Then after that, if the person has not come for the dog, it's officially, like, you know, been relinquished, the dog can be euthanized or adopted out. If the dog is vicious, deemed vicious in any way, it will be euthanized. Mm-hmm. I don't really know of any, you know, place that actually, you know, adopts out vicious dogs, but they definitely are very liability conscious if it's shown any, you know, viciousness towards or attacked any kind of animal or, you know, a human. But that leaves a lot of dogs that are looking for homes. And wonderful
but I
dogs.
Think, you know, and before we wrap up, and you can probably comment on this, I think that there is a point to make of, you know, some people are meant to be pet owners and others are not.
That's
and there
right.
are many others who are not meant to be but
right.
are.
Right.
And that's a disservice to the pet and
neighbors. And the humane thing would be if you're in over your head to try to find somebody else for that.
I just really think that there's some very irresponsible pet owners that, you know, it's...
There's irresponsible parents out there, too.
I know.
But we don't go around taking their kids away. That's the thing that, you know, I wish we had more of an opportunity to rescue some of the kids that are out there, too. Honestly.
Yeah, but, you know, people are going to call in about that.
They may well
dogs,
do it.
Some people say totally equal. Others say animals, human beings.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just saying there's a lot of kids in a lot of terrible situations too.
There is,
but sometimes kids and dogs are in the same terrible situation together. Because often, you know, dog abuse. If there's animal abuse in a family, there's also abuse of the children and spousal abuse. It's a statistical fact. So, you know, we don't want to. You know, get into the negatives. I don't want to be negative because, like, if you have a dog, these are some of the negative things we've talked about, but there's no one that can give you the unconditional love and acceptance that a dog can. And you're all moms that have, like, younger kids, and they have such high standards to live up to. You know, everyone's always in a hurry. They're on 3 soccer teams, and you want your team to win, or they got to look a certain way, or they're judged for their grades, but the dog won't judge you. It'll love you for what you are. And, you know, the dog will be there with you in that moment.
I got to get a dog.
You got to get a dog. It's been good for me. I should be the happiest person in the world since I got 8 of them.
Wow.
And I have 2 kitty cats, too, that I rescued from the shelter. So,
well,
you know.
I want to trade my cat for a dog. Is that making a bad person?
Susie, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time. And I'm sure, you know, I've learned a lot. We've all learned a lot. So
thank you.
Our listeners
thank
have.
You for the opportunity.
And thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. You've been listening to Because I Said So, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. For more information, including podcasts of this episode, visit us online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks to Anita Renfro for allowing us to use her song Momisms as our theme song. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Look for the lady with the red hot lips.
I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm the mom, the mom, the mom, the mom.